inside your presence, surrounded by your spirit. We're satisfied but desperate, but even more of, come on, even more of you. Sing it so loud. Let it echo from this city to the nations, the sound of praise, and let the windows of the heavens open wide and let it rain. Oh, let it rain.
Open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 1. I want to talk to you this morning about salvation and how salvation is the full expression of God's love. Salvation's the full expression of God's love. And so with that in mind, Galatians chapter 1, in verse 3, let's start right there. Grace to you and peace from God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the Father and the Son invoking grace and their peace upon us. And that's awesome. But I want you to understand, you need to receive it. I was studying several years back, and I never realized until I began, when the Lord spoke to me about grace to you and peace from God the Father, that he instructed Paul to begin his letters with that. And so he instructed me to receive it every time I studied the Word. Every time I open the Word, receive the grace, the unmerited favor, the undeserved favor. And grace covers everything. Grace is the answer to all of our situations. And peace. You can't put a price on peace. There's people with extreme vast wealth that don't have peace in their minds. Who was it? Howard Hughes, anybody remember who he was? Very wealthy billionaire, but he died a recluse because his mind was messed up. That's why, getting quick wealth is not good. Like instant fame in professional sports or in Hollywood or in the music industry, and all of a sudden they have vast amounts. Well, all's a lot of money is going to do is make you more of what you already are. So if you're already serving Satan, you're just going to have more funds in which to serve Satan. But if you're serving God, then you'll have more in which to sow into God's kingdom. Money is amoral. It's not good or evil. Oh, wait, Pastor, doesn't the Bible say money's evil? No, it does not. It says the love of money. And so many people make so many decisions based on that greed, loving the money. This country and all the other 200 and some countries on the planet, same way. They make a decision based on the money and not based on the welfare of the people. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, if you're from Massachusetts, I'm not trying to step on your toes. New Hampshire's got its. But I just happen to think the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and yet I've seen, I see right today what's going on in some of the schools there, indoctrinating kindergartners into totally disgusting things. Why is that? Because they want control of them. There's two kingdoms in this sphere. There's God's kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. Hey, I did it the other way this time. I usually start with the bad guys on this side, but you guys, you're okay today. No, you guys are okay today. You guys are in the hot seat. But there's two kingdoms. And every decision we make, every thought we have, is either going to advance God's kingdom towards us or it's going to advance Satan's kingdom towards us. You do not have control or say over whether that happens or not. That's a spiritual law. But you do get to choose what words and what thoughts you're going to entertain. Jesus said, take no thought saying. It becomes yours and you own it once you say it. We all have perverse thoughts coming at us because the enemy is trying to get at us. But we have to just, as you renew your mind, you can't think on two thoughts at the same time. So when you're renewing your mind to God's word, Satan is talking. You can't hear him. I shared this with two young men, 20 and 21 years old, going off to college this fall, that came to the prayer tent. And they were a little bit nervous, and they were both going to Christian colleges, but that doesn't really mean anything to me, you know. That's better, I guess, than, but anyway. I just was encouraging them that what they think on, and I gave them a word of knowledge. The Lord said to me, tell them that who they choose for friends is paramount for their life this year in school. And I said, you can choose the wrong friends, and you're just going to go down the wrong path. I said, you need to seek God. They were both Christian young men. I said, you need to seek God and make sure he says this is okay to have for a friend. I said, it's not because of who's popular. It's not because of any other reason. You listen to the Spirit of God. But I shared with them that the enemy is coming against them and wants to trip them up. Don't be ignorant of his devices. And so by showing them that who you choose for friends is going to be vitally, vitally important to your success as a Christian. Because the devil is going, even in Christian colleges, the devil is going to, he gets in there. He gets into the churches. You say, how could that happen? Well, Jesus talked about wolves. Did he not? Do wolves look like wolves? You can't tell them apart from a sheep, visually looking at them. Come on. Somebody you know your Bibles. They come disguised as sheep. Oh, brother, oh, sister. Jesus said it's not what goes into you that defiles you, it's what comes out of you. You need to get to know people before you choose them as friends. You get to know and understand, are they going to be beneficial for my life or are they going to hinder my life? Grace to you and peace from God, the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't even got to the scripture yet. That's just the introduction. Verse 4, here's where we're going. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. This tells me that it's the will of God that we be delivered out of, look what the Amplified says, from this present wicked age and world order. Where have you heard the words world order? They're being spoken more and more of on the news. There is a world order that Satan is behind, that he wants to set it up, and then he wants to take over. He doesn't want just one or two. He wants all of God's creation. And if he can't get at you because you're a man or woman of God and of faith, he's going to come at your family. He's going to come through your boss. He's going to come some way. Jesus said you would have tribulation in this life. That can't be avoided. But what you can avoid is going through the tribulation. Stick with him. Stick close to him like Jairus did to Jesus. And you'll go right through that situation. You won't have to have it dog you and keep you down. Put you into a mental anguish where you've got oppression. I tell you, the enemy comes at your mind And there's so many people that are affected in their mind, which then causes them to act and live different ways. And they're in turmoil. We sang about freedom. Don't put up with oppression. Well, my doctor said that, you know, it's just my mother had it and my grandmother had it and great grammy had it. And that's just our lot in life, that it's just coming down through. And then I suppose my kids are going to have it. That's just agreeing with Satan. That's what he wants you to do. You need to learn how to say no to your doctor. Last time I went to a doctor for a physical, they had those, you know, I don't know how many pages of questions. I just said no to all of it. Get on to something that I can answer better. And it was a woman, you know, and she was like, I said, I don't have any of those problems. I'm not ever going to have any of those problems. I don't want your cancer screening. I'm not telling you. Listen, that's me. I'm not telling you. You go to a doctor if you need to go to a doctor. They're wonderful people. They'll help keep people alive. I'm just telling you me. I didn't want to begin confessing because when I speak it out of my word, I own that now. Now the enemy's got something to work with. I wouldn't have even got out of that office if I'd have said yes to, oh yeah, great Grammy had heart disease, and I'd have begun having pains here and pains here and kidney problems. I would have opened up the door to the enemy. And that's what people do by way of what they say. You don't have to agree to the doctor's report. Thank him for the report. Thank you for doing what you do, but you don't have to take ownership that you've got fourth-stage cancer. You don't have to take ownership to it. You don't want to. Who are we trusting? Who are we trusting? So Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present wicked age. Is this present wicked age still the present wicked age? It was back when he said it, when it was written. It still is today. And he came to deliver and rescue us from that in accordance with the will and the purpose and the plan of our God and Father. So bottom line is he came to set us free from everything the devil had. Everything. Everything. 1 John. Let's turn over there. 2.5 hours or so, I began to realize through the different people we met how much we need to know God's word to have an answer, to have the right answer. Just like that young boy that said, well, I don't believe there's a God. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty in your face, isn't it? What are you going to say to him? We had all sorts of things kind of presented to us. I thank God that we had, you know, if I didn't know the specific scripture, my wife had it. The Spirit of God gave it to her. We don't have to always think, well, I can't begin to serve and help people until I've got it. You'll never have it all together. I'm never going to have it all together. I'm never going to know everything. You're never going to know everything. Let's just own up to that and say, you know what? I'll take what I do know, and I'm going to step out in faith. And what I do know in faith, God can do miracles. I'm serious. You get born again today, you can do miracles today. God set your daughter free from a at birth disease in her spine. Set her totally free. Her daughter didn't even know Jesus as her Savior. Interesting that he would heal somebody, set him free. And then she had several other things. I don't even remember what they all were. I said, you just need the package plan. That's what salvation is, the package plan. You got mental problems? He's got the package plan. You got physical problems? He's got the package plan. He died for our sins, so we can get that out of the way and our spirit can become perfect now. But now we've got to renew our minds to find out what else is in the plan. This is one case when you can get born again and not know everything that's in the plan, but you want to get born again. The healthcare package that was delivered, they said, let's just vote on it before we know what's in it. That's just ludicrous. But I tell you what, God wants to show you daily his glory. We sing from glory to glory to glory to glory. It doesn't go from glory to glory to plop. Oops. No, he wants to keep us going higher and higher. I love it when Suzanne sings that and we go higher and it takes us higher. It's just like, yeah, Lord, take us higher. We soar right above the crap in this world. And we want to take people higher with us. It isn't about us. It's not about the big me. Jesus said that too. He said, it's not about me. I lay my life down for you. He laid his life down for you and for me. He had you on his mind. I remember sharing with another young girl. She came in and she was a mess, shaking, demon spirits all over her. Starts crying, stuttering, can't even talk to us. And then she says, well, I'm going to tell you some things I've never told anybody else before. Don't you like it when that you're faced with that one? I've never told my therapist and my psychiatrist these things before. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. And she's going to tell me. I'm the lucky recipient. And they were, some of them were perverted. And, you know, she doesn't know if she's a girl or a boy and looked like a girl to me. And I remember Gina saying, you know, don't spend a long, long time. But it's just like, man, I can't give a 30-second word and prayer at the same time and help this girl. And so for probably 20 minutes or more, or 25 minutes, and Deb and I just like looking at each other. It's okay. She did all the talking for the first 10 minutes, nonstop. And I had to just get back to the Holy Spirit. I said, well, you know what? I said, God wants you to be free. I said, would you like to be free? And her face just began. As we began to talk and share God's word, her leg was like shaking all over the place. It stopped. Those spirits left. I didn't have a demon casting outing session there. I just began speaking the word of God, and they had to go. If they hadn't, by the time we got done, we did take authority over spirits. And you don't say, I cast you out, demon. You don't do that. Just I take authority over this spirit. They know you're talking to them. They know my name. And so this girl, she finally stopped sobbing. And then the last thing she said to us, I'll never forget this. She said, would it be all right if I hugged you guys? And she tried to get us in the guessing game of how old we thought. She says, well, a lot of people, you know, are you old enough to watch a PG-13 movie? It's just like, I said, ma'am, I'm not going to try to guess your age. I said, I don't do that. I said, and if God doesn't tell me, I'm keeping my mouth shut. That's just the way I said it to her. And she kind of smiled, and it's like, that kind of loosened her up or whatever. Well, she was 24 years old. Unbeknownst to my wife and I, her mom was out there somewhere watching. I didn't know that. And she came over and she wanted to hug us. And she said, I want to thank you for taking the time with my daughter. Most people would probably get scared and, you know, freaked out because manifestations were happening. And she was spitting and I spit, but I'm preaching. She's spitting and drooling, and I mean, there was lots of things going on that were very interesting. And when we finally prayed, I said, can I take your hand? And I took one hand, and Deb took one hand and put a hand on her shoulder, And we just began to pray God's love on her. And he did a work in her. And the mom could tell. The mom could tell. Freedom. Freedom. Are we prepared to bring freedom to people? So at the end of it all, Gina says, you're on our team. You know, you'll be back next year. You're on our team. It's like some of those team members, they're there for 12 hours doing this. We relieved some people that had been there all day. We got in there at 3 o'clock. And we stayed till about 5:30. And quite honestly, like I said, I didn't know it would be. She told me afterwards, she said, last year we had 1,500 people come in here. She said, we're expecting 2,000 this year. I said, dear Jesus, I didn't realize the scope of it. But what's your little world when you go to work? Is there somebody there that's manifesting? You know, Bob, you've told me there's people that they're cussing in front of you and, you know, bad language. You just got to get over that. They sin because they're sinners. No other reason. Everybody was made a sinner because of the one man, Adam. But when we get born again and transformed, God doesn't see us as sinners anymore. He sees us through the blood of Jesus. He sees us clean. I'm going to finish with Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21. Well, actually, let's back up. Let's go back to verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, engaged before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. She's pregnant. He's going to get blamed. He's the boyfriend. Going to get blamed. I know what that's like. My wife's not in here, but she knows about it. A girlfriend I had, I was 18, she was 16. I got introduced to her parents with a SWAT team. State police, sheriff's department. Because I was with her after dark. I was 18, she was 16. We hadn't done nothing. We hadn't kissed. We didn't even hold hands. But I tell you what, one of those police officers read me the riot act. Said, you know, you go to jail. I said, go to jail for what? Because on the books in New Hampshire, statutory rape, anybody that's an adult that's with a minor can go to jail. That's what the law says. I said, sir, I didn't know that. Trust me, if I had. But then there was another just police officer. His name was Earl Palmer. You remember him. Anybody remember him? He had the love of God in him, I guess, because he said, son, he says, I can tell you haven't been doing anything wrong. And he just settled my nerves. So I can understand how, you know, Joseph and Mary must have felt. The whole town's going to say things that aren't so. Don't be saying things that aren't so if you don't know they're so. Matter of fact, don't be saying them even if they are so. Not your place or my place. So while Joseph thought about these things, yeah, I remember thinking about some things. It was scary and hairy. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You know what? I think Earl Palmer was that angel for me. Because I was just about crying in front of this guy that was reading me the riot act. I said, man, you don't understand. It isn't what you're thinking. My, how our minds jump to conclusions. The Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. That's what Earl said to me. To take you to you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. That word save right there is the Greek word sozo. And we're going to talk about that word in the coming week or two, or as long as the Lord leads me to. It's used over 100 times. It's a Greek word, and it's translated into English in different words, meaning different things. And the reason being is because salvation, he will save them. Salvation is all-inclusive spirit, soul, and body. You need to understand that, that God didn't leave anything out. He didn't make a mistake. He hasn't abandoned you. Jesus said, I'm the great, I am. You've got cancer, I am the answer to cancer. I'm broke, I am the answer to brokenness. I'm oppressed, I am the answer to oppression. I took it upon me. I took the chastisement necessary for you to have peace in your mind. I took that, I did that for you. So we're gonna look at, what did Jesus really do? We saw in Galatians that it says, he came to save us, sozo, from this present evil world. Every bit of evil that's in this world, he came to set you free from. I got an amen, but that's a shouting ground right there. Because we don't have to go it alone. Jesus has done the hard part. We just need to receive it and operate in it. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Father, I thank you for these, your people. I thank you for these that are listening online. I thank you, Father, for the power of your word. The incorruptible seed of the word of God planted into the good grounds of our hearts will produce miracles, will produce fruit, which can be miracles also. It'll produce in us clean hands and a pure heart. It'll produce in us holy living. It'll produce in us the ability to forgive one another. It'll produce in us your peace, your joy, your patience, your goodness, your faithfulness. Yes, even your self-control. Jesus, you used your self-control by not calling on those angels to spare you from the cross. Father, we love you and we give you thanks for this word that's going forth today. I pray that it fell on ears that desired to hear it and hearts to receive it. Father, help us to grow day by day by day to become more like you. We thank you and praise you for your Son, for your Spirit, and for all that you've done, past, present, and future. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, you are dismissed. We have refreshments, so stay around and fellowship with one another.